Now, you're going to see the phrase of what I want to say to you today up on the screen, our postmodern stained glass. And when you see it, I want you to say it. Are you ready? Here we go. What does it say? Some of you are going, okay, I'm drunk, or the preacher's drunk, or somebody's drunk. What does that say? How I read my Bible now. Say it with me. How I read my Bible now. One more time. How I read my Bible now. Front row. How I read my Bible now. Not bad, but not that good. Let's do that again. One, two, three. No, let's start again. One, two, three. How I read my Bible now. Now, let me tell you how I read my Bible then. It's how you read your Bible now. Because I don't know if you can tell, but they're young. No wrinkles here. There's no slouching here. There's no slow movements here. This is the crowd that needs to read the Word of God in such a way that they do not deconstruct later in life. Deconstruction has become fairly popular. People are offended. They're offended at the church. They're offended at preachers. They're offended ultimately at God. There's two construction projects in according to Scripture. A house built on sand and a house built on the rock. Those are the only two construction projects in the Bible. One's on shifty sand and the other one's on the immovable, come on somebody, rock. And if you're building your faith on sand, how's it working out for you? Let me tell you how it's working out for you. Not very good, because the storms come to the good, the bad, and the ugly. It comes to everyone and everybody. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have storms. The issue is not whether or not every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I get the Hallmark card moment. But y'all know that's not true from the perspective of what we go through in life. The issue isn't whether or not every day is sweeter. The issue is when it is unsweet, when things are hard, what are you built upon? Yeah. How I read my Bible now is different than how I read my Bible then. And some are going, oh boy, we have a heresy man in the house. He's going to come up with new theology. He used to believe the Bible was true. Now he thinks it's just a kind of like maybe true. How many love this book right here? I love this book right here. I don't worship this book right here, but I love this book right here. And Bible sales are increasing like crazy because people are getting back to the book. Because between its pages is revelation. We are the sons of Zion. We live by revelation. The sons of Zeus, the world system, lives by information. AI will never be my friend. But AI will be my tool. Yeah. There you go. People are having relationships with AI. It's a spirit from the pit of hell. Because the accumulation of knowledge will never get you through the door. It's only by revelation. Let me tell you how the Bible begins. I love the first four words. In the beginning, God. Yep. Well, how do you fight with that? Like, what are you supposed to do with that? God, you didn't even give me an opportunity to be God. You had to go be God. in the beginning. Why are you God and I'm not God? God says, because I'm God and you're not God. In the beginning, are you ready for this? God. Do you want to know what the next word after God is? What is it? Do you know? Thank you. Give you a wristband later. Created. So the first thing someone says about himself is often what they want you to know. God said the first thing about himself is that he is creative because he is creator. We got to know it. We got to believe it. We got to sense it. We got to submit to it. We've got to believe that God is the God who created. What? What did he create? Well, you know what he created? Everything we don't see. And everything we do see, for he created the heavens and the earth. So he already did it all. The devil didn't get to come up with anything. You don't get rotten apples. You grow good apples and they get rotten. So how I read my Bible now as in contrast to how I read my Bible then, it's not that I believe differently than how I believed when I was this age. Because, by the way, can I just say this? And this isn't pride. And if you think it is, then get over it. But it's not pride. I found God early and I've never left him. And I'm not boring. Oh, why do people get the idea that you've got to leave God to find God? And frankly, well, Jesus didn't leave God. And he's the most attractive man who ever lived. Sinners were like, can we be with you? Kids were like, can we hang out? Let me tell you something about the sinless one. He's the ultimate attractive one. I'm going to say that again. You will never be more attractive. I'm not going to say it again. I'm going to say something different. You will never be more attractive than you are when you're like Jesus. You'll never be more attractive, young man. And he's like, gee, I thought I was safe. I was a four rows back. But I just declare, you'll never be more you than when you're totally into him. Am I right? Would this be the truth? Would this be the revelation of Scripture? So the first key words of the Bible could be seven of them. In the beginning, God created heavens, earth. Those are seven words, and they're key words to the beginning of the Bible. So how I read my Bible then is not how I read my Bible now. Now let me explain that. When I read the Scripture, and I've read it through many times, and I just love God's Word, my bedroom became a Bible college when I was 14. I spent 2 hours a day in my bedroom with God every day when I was 14. That's why I'm like this. It'll mess you up. In a good way. I was in Dallas the other day and I got another order for 2,500 of the book I wrote, How to Turn Your Bedroom into a Bible College, and I wrote it 25 years ago. But it's still producing fruit. How many wouldn't mind having an urge to merge with the greatest revelation that the world has ever known? It's found in God's Word. And so how I read my Bible now is different than how I read it then. How I read my Bible now is I look for the stories and the sayings. I try to pull out God's revelation in the stories of Scripture and in the sayings of Scripture. And some are saying, what do you mean, sayings? Jesus says, he who hears my sayings, not even sermons, but sayings, he shall be like a man who built his house upon a rock, the preferred construction project. So in Genesis chapter 1, we find God's seven words that are good. And I've preached this before here. But in the beginning, God, and then God said good, 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 seven times. And that's why my shirt says God is good. People go, that's horrible sentence structure. Doesn't even make sense. I did it on the street today. I did it on the street on Friday night to an 18-year-old kid. He's sitting there, looked at my Omelo shoes. I was wearing, I guess, a very important sneaker that's going up in value. He was freaky. He said, bro, do you know what you got on your feet? I'm like, yeah, they're bright green and they're Omelos or something. I didn't even know. And they're up to $385 online. I paid $89. It was freaky. And then he says, bro, I collect shoes. I'm a sneakerhead, man. He says, let me show you my shoes. I got a pair of shoes that are worth $13,000. And he showed it to me online. His shoes are $13,000. And I said, the world has gone crazy. But boy, we got into a conversation, and guess what? I let him know that God is good. Do you notice it doesn't say God is good? God is good, but he wants to be gooder, and he only gets to be gooder when he's God. What a masculine thought in a feminized world. You know why we live in a feminized world in Western culture? Because the men forgot to be men. And so the women said, let's be men. Because the men aren't being good men. So we're forced to take over. I shouldn't have said all that because that involves a seminar, just the thought of the spirit of the act, the fight against men and women, which is the result of Adam and Eve's fall. God says, you two are going to have a problem. It's just, you're going to have to work it out. You were naked and unashamed. Now you're naked and you're ticked. You know, you used to be fine with your openness and vulnerability and nakedness towards one another. Now you're trying to hide yourselves. Yeah, it's not my fault, says the Lord. Let me show you another one. Let me show you another t-shirt. It's the one, yeah. Let's check it out. That's Genesis 1. God said, if you eat of this fruit, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. I love the word surely because they didn't die right away. So God had to throw a surely on there. Because he had to let them know that eventually it's going to go south. So what did the devil do in Genesis chapter 3? Well, he decided that God's period required his question mark. So the devil showed up in Genesis chapter 3 and he says, has God indeed said that if you eat of this tree, you shall be? Can I submit to you, every teenager in the room, every young person, all adults, every one of us, God's periods are periods. And the devil responds with his own question mark. And then the devil gets mad. And he says, you'll be just like God. God knows you'll be just like him if you eat the fruit. And then the devil throws his own period on there. Here's the good news. God's period will always be greater than the devil's trauma. Yep. Could we all just say the word period? Period. One more time. Period. Yeah, yeah. God's period will always be greater. And all you young people that are listening to me, let me tell you something right now. It's not your parents' period. It's God's period. Somebody say, I don't want God because my parents drug me to church. I had a severe drug problem when I grew up. My parents drug me to church. Okay, well, your fight is not against your parents. Ultimately, your fight is against God. Am I right or wrong? Okay, well, now I'm starting to spend some time, and thanks to leaders that are speaking into our lives also, but now I'm starting to go into the first two men that were ever born. Who were they? The first two men that were ever born, who were they? Cain and Abel. You know what Adam and Eve did when they left the garden? They raised Cain. Are you ready? Were they able? Just kidding. Okay. Now, the stupid joke. They weren't able because guess what happened in the first story of the Bible? The first two created men. Now, if Adam and Eve sinned, and we know that the fall of man came and they were naked and ashamed, then how many know the first family is probably, or the first thing out right out of the gate is probably going to go south? Well, exactly, it went south. Watch this, and I'm winding down here in just a minute. Listen to this. Now, Abraham knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord was, oh, this is toxic. Are you ready for this? I just love the scripture. It's just so cool. And it says, right, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. God, you're disrespectful. Do you know that God's has no problem with being disrespectful? Think about that. Now, I know you're thinking disrespectful in the wrong way, but disrespect is God's prerogative. God, you're love, aren't you? God, love, God is love. No, God is disrespectful. He had a problem with Cain's offering. That's mean. I brought something, Lord. I brought something to you. Why are you dissing it? Because God is God. He's good. Why was God disrespectful of Cain's offering? Well, I think it's found in a few phrases here, but one of them is this. And in the process of time. You know what God disrespects? When you tell God, when I get around to it, I will. When I want to serve you, I will. But in the meantime, I'm going to do what I want. You know what God says? You lose. Like, what a thing to say, Lord. Why would you be so disrespectful to my offering? Because it's lackluster. Because it's when you got around to it. It's when you chose and pick and chose what you thought you would do for me. And your offering is lame. Oh, you're a God of love. Like, don't be talking this. Love is the key phrase on t-shirts today. Come on. Let's go with love is love. Love is not love. How pathetic. Don't wear a shirt. This is love is love. Please don't do it. Because that's a spirit that wants to tell God what's up. God is love. And so Cain, get ready for this, guys. Cain has a problem with God, because God has a problem with Cain. He has a problem with his attitude. And he told him straight out, I don't like your offering. You're a good God. No, I'm not. I'm a God God. Then I'm a good God. So quit blaming it on anybody else. Your problem is with Jesus. Your problem is with God. And don't tell me that you're going to tell God you didn't follow him because of people. That sucketh from the pit of helleth. That's lame. I'm attacking spirits here of offense that are so prevalent and want to consume us. Watch this. By the way, can I just say something about this church right now? It's just filled with a phenomenal combination of people. People I've known for 100 years, minus 70. People that are new, people that have heard me, people that haven't, people I've had deep relationship with, people that are the reason I'm here. People like you. People like you. Ah, but you know what? You're here. You're here. Because you know deep down your issues have nothing to do with people. Ultimately, our issues, including my own, are my issue with God. Because in the story of Cain and Abel, we have no record of the conversation between Cain and Abel. But we do have a record of the conversation between Cain and God. You know why this is the bestseller? Because it reveals truth at a hyper deep level. Watch this. So Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, How many know that if you bring something called the firstborn, it's not your timetable? God, you submit to my timing. God says, well, that's not going to work out very well for you. How about if you submit to mine? Bring me your firstborn. But for Cain, it was in the process of time. When I get around to it. When I get around to it, I'll be right. When I say, I'll honor the Lord. When I got around to it, and we all know what I'm talking about, because all of us have a slice of us that says to God, in the process of time, when I get around to it, I'm going to align myself with you. But the only problem with treating God that way is that we end up very angry. And it says it right here. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. God's a disrespecter of certain things. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. That's so black and white. I don't like it. How about you? How many want to get that out of the Bible right now? How many want to just say, God will just receive whatever comes? How many would go with that? Like, really, isn't God love? So let's just bring him whatever. Because, you know, God is love. And God says, no, I'm God. And here's why, if you bring your lackluster response to him, it screws you up. You get to be a worse person. It's not about God. He's already perfect. It's about you. You just end up less than what you're called to be. You are small when you are offended. You are a weenie when you are offended. I am so much less than what I'm called to be when I have a problem with his disrespect towards what I'm bringing him. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell, which means it just showed up on his face. It showed up on his face. Why are you angry? Said the Lord. Though this is good. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? You know, it's almost like the Old Testament. Remember, I read my Bible different than how I read it then, not because the Bible's changed, but because I have grown up and I see things in a different way, and it's good. The Old Testament was how life works. The New Testament is how life can work again. if you'll just open up to the one who gave you another start, called Christ. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do, oh, this is good. There's hope. Wherever you are right now, and these young people got way more future than past, and so you guys were a little ticked, okay, because you just have your whole life in front of you. There's rows here that have way more past than future. You're awesome. You know what I tell my kids? I have a 16 to 14-year-old, and I'm 66. Let's pray. For me. You know what I told my kids the other day? Gabrielle, who led worship in the church this morning, my son works with the young people, he's 14. I says, I don't care what you do with my faith. Because it's not my faith. You got to get your own faith. Now, I'll be an example. And I'll have FUN with God. And you can watch me. And may my modeling of my walk with Christ, and I'm not perfect, be to you a template for what you can have. And I'm not perfect. I tell my kids that. It's almost reverse psychology. I don't care if you come. Hoping they come. But I don't care. Because I'm going. You can come. But you don't have to. Because this isn't a religion in the negative sense. It's a relationship with Almighty Creator. Why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, bro, you can change. Bro. The Bible doesn't say bro. But I just feel bro on me, bro. You can change. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. There's the word sin. It's in the first few words of the Bible. Sin, I love it. Sin lies at the door. And this is weird, but I've learned from others and those that have gone. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. It's almost like and Jordan Peterson helped me with this, but it's like a sexual predator that wants to have its way with you. A bad attitude, a revengeful spirit towards others, towards anything, a madness at God. And you didn't accept my sacrifice, so forget you. I have a problem with you. I'm mad. My countenance has fallen. And God would say, keep that up. And sin is going to have its way with you. And you will go crazy. Okay, that was God's conversation with the first man ever made. Maybe the second man ever made. Did they have Cain or Abel? Who cares? He went to get Abel. By the way, we have nothing on Abel. All we know is that when he left that conversation, he said, you know, I need to change. I need to come to God with everything I am. I need to give him it all. I don't just need to kind of serve God, maybe kind of pick and choose. I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. He got so offended. And jealous. Why is that guy's everything he touches works? Everything I touch has a problem. Why is his life so good and why is my life so bad? That he hung out with his brother. Well, of course he killed him. Because that's where you go. You kill relationships. You kill alignments. You kill stuff. You kill stuff. You even kill people. You know all these domestic violence cases that you see where the next morning three people are dead in a house in Jersey or Sturgis? Is because somebody went crazy. Because they were offended. And they're mad. And I'd rather you not be in the future. So I'm going to take you out now. You may not kill them physically, but you've killed them emotionally. And you've said, I'll have nothing to do with you. That's the Bible. That's why people are returning to it. Because they're going, I'm going to admit it. Lord, make me like Abel instead of like Cain. The judgment for Abel or Cain was that he was sent off. God sent him away. And he went to the land of, are you ready for this? Almost a take on, a play on words, the land of N-O-D. The land of Nod. Screw this life. Don't anybody get close to me, I'll kill you. Screw it all. Why? Because I had a problem with Jesus or God. He struck his fist at God in anger, at the structure of reality itself and the unfairness of being. That's what Cain did. He struck his fist at God in anger. At the structure of reality itself, because this is how the world really works, and the unfairness of being. And so the way I read my Bible now is kind of like different than how I read it then, because I'm a different person than I was then. I've lived more life, but I continue to pull out things, and God shows me things that I've never seen before. I've never seen Cain and Abel like I've seen them recently. But my heart has been to follow the Lord with an Abel spirit instead of a Cain heart. And maybe that's why I'm not offended ultimately at God or my family. My kids are good. The mother of my children died 16 months ago from mad cow disease, 50 years of age. So my kids don't have a mom. You know what I told my kids when they saw their mother dying? Look up. Don't look around. Don't look down. Look up. I've heard that there are certain kinds of billionaires that don't believe in God. Because if they did, they'd have to look up. They just don't know if he exists. How convenient. That means you don't need to look up. So I told my kids when their mother passed away, look up to the hills. Black hills matter. That was a joke. From whence cometh your help? My help. Come on, say it with me. My help. Let's say it together. My help cometh. Cometh. Let's go, King James. Cometh from the Lord. From the Lord. I want to be able. I don't want to be Cain. And there's a slice of Cain in all of us. Are you ready for this? you're able to get rid of it. Sorry for being corny. But the Cain in you, through repentance, you're able to get rid of it. Number one, because of Jesus and his carrying forth the legalese of heaven and setting us free from any legal attempt to accuse us. Thank you, Jesus. I had two guys in my car one day, and why don't you throw up John 3:16? And I'll end with this. I see the Bible in different ways, and so that is John 3:16. How many know that'd be a covert way of sharing Jesus on a t-shirt? Because people are like, okay, is this the Matrix? Can I share with you how you could view John 3:16 for the rest of your life? Because that's John 3:16. There's two words in there that are the same word. Maybe there's more, but it starts with a T. Can anybody find them? What two words start with T up there? That, yeah, that. How many that's are in there? Two. You get a wristband too if you want. There's two that's. Because what comes after that is because of what came before that. For God so loved the world. Can we say that together? For God so loved the world. That. What comes after that is because of what came before that. For God so loved the world that he had cute thoughts about you. Not. Our God is awesome. He's big time. He actually does stuff. He's awesome. For God so loved the world. It's a Hallmark card moment. Until what comes after that? He gave his only begotten Son. That, because there's another that. It's a double that. It's a cool that. Check out the stuff that comes after the second that. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the address, John 3:16. How many are thankful that that verse is in the Bible? Because it takes care of the Cain in you and the Cain in me. And because of Christ, we are able to be everything God's called us to be. So I've been broadcasting the whole morning. And the Holy Ghost narrowcasts. Because remember, he gets to the point. It's a sword, not a board. Don't allow years of it's always been this way to cause you to say it will always be this way. Is anybody open to a after Goliath future? Because life after Goliath will be different than life before Goliath. If there's a giant you need to slay, your future can be different if you slay it. I'm so happy there's young people in this room. I'm so happy there's young lives in this room. Because you get to be like Jesus at 12. I must be about my father. Father's business. He said that at 12. I must. I shared with the 18-year-old on the street the other night. I says, bro, let me give you my wristband. I gave him my I must wristband. I says, you know what Jesus said at 12? He said, I must be about my Father's business. And he looked at me like, whoa. I wish I had the video. You could see it. We could do it in 15 seconds. He caught it. He caught it. But pastor, for years I've been preaching on Jesus at 12 and what he said at 7 words. I looked and recently I've discovered some new revelation on it. It's the 10 words he said before the 7 words that made him say the 7 words. Here they are. Here are the first words Jesus spoke in the Bible. There's 10 of them. He said it to his mother. So he had a little attitude. 3 days without him, she's freaking out. He says to her, why do you seek me? You get in the Winnebago, you little brat. It's been 3 days we've been looking for you, and you have the nerve to say to us, Mom and Dad, why do we seek you? You're 12. We seek you because you're 12. You could sue us for child abandonment. Jesus said to his parents at 12, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? You can't say those 7 words until you've experienced the 10 words he spoke, where God catches you and you don't even know where you're at, but you're in the right place. He was in the temple, blowing away religious leaders with his wisdom and understanding. He was in lost in love. And when that happens to you, you'll be able to say the 7 words. I must be about my Father's business. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak those words on believers. Fellowship again, as I've spoken them for many years. I pray that every child, young adult, tweener in this room, teenager, in the name of Jesus, will pick up the testimony of Abel and shun the storyline of Cain. I speak it into my life. I speak it into the areas where there's Cain-like qualities in me. And I speak into this great house filled with a rich heritage and mixture of humans that I've been able to be with for 3 decades some. Help us to do the work to be able again. We love you, Jesus. You know, I would do it. I'd have no fear. So right now, just ask people if they felt like God spoke a word that you need to respond to stand, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not afraid to. Because there's too much history here. You'd say, oh, there's a lot of history. Come on, somebody. Let's have an after Goliath future. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Let's slay some stuff so we can live different. Lord, I speak that over my own life. I want a different future than my past. I've had a great past, but Lord, I want more of what you have. I kind of want you to just touch everything I touch and bless it, instead of resist it. So we give you this day at the end of the rally. And we take these words to heart. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for John 3:16. Thank you for Luke chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Your issue will never be with me or any preacher on the planet. Your issue will be with your God. Your issue will never be with anybody else. It will always be with the Lord, eventually, ultimately. Amen.